Is there a parallel universe in which these languages are spoken? Did he visit that universe?
Oh, now that's interesting, except I don't buy into the multiverse. But anyway, that's a whole different podcast right there.
It's time for another episode of Grow the Dream. Today,
happy Thanksgiving.
And happy birthday.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, Rod. Getting older.
I am.
We have a lot of ground to cover today. Talking about the new Google search quality guidelines.
Okay.
What you can learn.
Facebook authorship.
And the value of old school networking to raise a sector's profile in a community.
What?
Yep. Yeah, you're going to want to understand that.
But then we're going to need to nerd out a little bit, so let's redirect some domains or something.
Okay, sure.
All that and more coming up right now.
Oftentimes, it's the ones that are successful loved what they did so they could persevere when it got really tough. And the ones that didn't love it, quit.
I learned many great lessons from my father, not the least of which was that you can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the most indispensable show for people doing the hard work of growing your business. It's the marketing podcast by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Welcome to Grow the Dream.
All right, welcome to episode 42 of Grow the Dream podcast.
Okay, well, it wasn't that lyrical, really, but okay.
I'll take it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we've missed a Josh's jingle for a couple weeks now.
We have.
So, yeah.
We have. So that works.
It works. I like it. It's 42, so obviously that's the answer. I can't help it. I'm sorry. I can't.
You're giving it away again.
I just can't help it. Okay.
We have finally arrived after all this time this year. We have arrived at the answer to the big question in all of life.
That's true.
And what is the question?
I think you know that.
No. We don't know the question yet. They were trying to figure out the question.
It's the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything.
I know. And the answer is 42.
Yeah.
But then they had to go back and figure out the question.
Oh, okay. You're that far. Okay. Sorry.
We were trying to keep from spoiling stuff.
Right.
So, yeah. All right. So,
hopefully we haven't spoiled anything for our listeners, like the program here.
People, you would know I'm at the end of book one. Come on.
All right.
So Douglas Adams reference, for anybody wondering, these are Douglas Adams references.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe.
Or the Galaxy, whichever
one
might be.
I'm in the restaurant at the end of the universe right now.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, I got to read that again.
Yeah, I'm overdue too, actually. We have until May to beat Towel Day. Okay, so speaking of Pete's coffee, I mean, brews of the day.
Towel Day.
Ba-doom boom.
This is Major Dickinson's blend today.
Thank you, Major.
What do you think?
Major Minor?
I liked it. I thought it was great. Of course, it was going with some sweets.
Major Minor, yeah. Well, and we have to say thank you to Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Can we mention her by name?
Please do.
It's too late. I already did.
Yep.
Kim Thompson, who is...
Is her Thompson without a P as well?
Well,
oddly enough, it is.
Since she got it from him, I'm kind of guessing maybe so. But she made a magnificent coffee cake in celebration of your getting older.
Yes, another year older.
And we drank it with some nasty coffee, which you guys are still drinking.
You just don't like it, huh?
No.
Oh. Okay.
But then you guys also brought coffee, ice cream to the party.
I'm under the belief that Keurig is fundamentally worse than regular coffee at its core.
I agree.
And then it can only get up to a certain level. So even if this coffee has potential,
okay,
it's lost on me.
I admit I was trying to save time because we originally had a guest scheduled.
Right.
I was trying to save time and make sure that we could brew quickly. So that's the reason that we bought K-Cups instead of going for our normal French press.
And get well soon, guest.
So those of you who are tuned in because you knew we were having a show on influencer marketing, I regret to inform you that Kristen Matthews is ill, and so she has the day off.
Quite ill, yeah. Off to the doctor. Ill,
yeah. So her one chance to see her doctor was absolutely right now while we're recording. So we had to bounce her to another week, which is great because
we want her healthy.
Yeah, and so, we want her to be at her best. Don't we? I think so.
Yeah, that's the right. Well, and the bottom line is you get to hear from us now. So
I want her healthy, too. I realize how selfish that sounded. Yes. So thank you, Rod, for taking the high road on that one. So, hey, it's our Thanksgiving episode. So happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So much to be thankful for.
You know, it's true. I was
42 episodes.
Yeah, there's that. I'm then thankful for the two of you.
Oh, back at you.
That's sweet.
And the two listeners that we have. No. I'm thankful for both of you,
too. No, we have 14.
Did we count 14?
I counted 14 last week.
Oh, great.
Okay.
In terms of interactions, you mean? Like people who responded to the show? Or how, what basis?
No. Actually, I'm just kidding. There's a bunch of downloads.
Right. I think our listeners should know that it's
more
not
than 14.
It's
a joke.
Yes. Well,
it's just a joke.
I would just...
Come on.
If they're listening, okay, they know they're not.
The implication of a joke is it be humorous. And so since I felt like that part was missing, I wasn't sure that our listeners would get that it
come
was a joke.
Come on, Rod. Come on.
Okay, well...
Let's have a little faith in our listeners.
I'm glad we clarified because, you know, that's a good thing to do.
Treating them like three-year-olds.
And I just closed whatever tab it was that was playing music suddenly in my ears. I don't know if you guys heard that.
No, we didn't hear that.
No.
So
thought you were a little distracted. Now it makes sense.
I was at breakfast this morning with a group of guys that we get together once a month. Everybody owns a business. And, you know, it's kind of like calling it a mastermind group would be overstating things.
Okay.
We usually just get together and everybody gets an update. And shockingly, that's just not how I would have put it. But.
Nor I.
Some of that does happen, Josh. So
Josh has just been dying to do that.
I know. He really has been.
chomping at the bit.
Several
How
episodes.
Far can I go, Dad? How far can I go?
I feel like I earned one.
Okay.
And I used it so very frivolously.
You did.
Just wasted
and
it.
And I completely reject the idea of earning that.
Okay. So
I like the way you said that.
He's older, Josh, so he has earned the right to.
I'm even older now.
Yeah. So anyway, one of the guys was talking about, you know, between what happened in Paris. This is a little serious. Sorry. Between what happened in Paris and he was explaining, you know, he's had a couple of friends who literally passed away. Clients. I mean, he just in the last couple of weeks, just bombarded with bad news. And he said, you know, it makes me realize how blessed we really are.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just struck me how much gratitude he was expressing and how true it is.
And if you have time to listen to a podcast, you are very privileged. If we have the time to listen to a show.
I mean, there's actually some real truth to that. First of all, we live in a time in which there are podcasts and we have this wonderful technology. And then two, if you actually have time in your schedule in which you have the luxury of listening to a podcast or more than one podcast, that's something to be thankful for also. There's a lot of things I think we take for granted that we ought to be thankful for.
Sorry to derail your
conversation.
No, it's true.
You're right in line with it. I'm good. I wasn't thinking in that way, so I appreciate it. It's why there are multiple guests or hosts on this show, because we don't all think the same way, hopefully.
Yeah. We definitely don't.
Because we clearly don't. We would be redundant. So, in other words, you know, I apologize to those of you listening from outside the U.S. You may not celebrate Thanksgiving this week. I know the Canadians get to it a lot sooner than we do. But it's just a time for us to be thankful, and we're thankful for you as listeners. We're thankful for the opportunity we have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And
Seth Godin wrote a blog post about Thanksgiving, and more specifically, giving thanks, and he gave out this, I didn't actually download the thing, but it was basically a challenge for everyone, no matter where you're at, was like, whether you realize it or not, you are extremely blessed, and you should be very grateful for wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, because his point was, if this is reaching you, if this blog post is reaching you, you're extremely privileged.
And it's so true.
I think I was applying that to this show.
I appreciate that perspective. There's a lot of truth to that, actually.
As somebody who's gone to Haiti, you know, close to 20 times, you know, it's just, we take so much for granted in the West, not just the United States, but in the West, we have so many opportunities, so many things that we just wake up and live with all the time that we've always had or feel like we have. That there are hundreds of millions of people in the world that don't.
Yeah, I like to imagine, if I'm not feeling grateful, I like to imagine life without coffee. I'm instantly much more grateful about my life.
It's true. Even just the simple, we don't need all the tech, just some of the simple
stuff.
It's
true.
Right.
Well, that's very true. So
I can't believe that I said that with an entire straight face and nobody laughed.
Well, it's because we agreed.
I think we're all serious.
It's true. No, it's
true. If you were joking, I'm sorry I missed it. But
we do not mess around with our coffee on this show.
No, we're serious about it. But it's also about appreciating sometimes the small things in life, the simple things.
It's true. And so I'm grateful for the opportunity to do that as a nation and culturally. You know, it's good to see people pause, even if just for one day.
And we're grateful to you for listening to the show. Right. We're super grateful for our listeners.
Absolutely we are.
Yeah,
all 14.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so if you want to increase
I think it's important to tell our listeners that there are more than 14.
Okay.
There are dozens of you. I mean, really? No, I'm kidding.
Go ahead.
The downloads are much bigger than that, so we're not even remotely serious here about that. That being said,
if we said them out loud, it would sound like we were bragging.
Yeah, it's true. So we won't. Since we're not talking about influencer marketing, we have a whole bunch of other topics lined up. And we thought you would probably want to know about some of these.
All right, on the count of three, we all yell out what we're going to talk about. One, two, three. Google.
Okay, well, one of us.
All right, so we're starting with Google. Yay! What's the big news in Google this week?
Go, Josh.
Okay, can we take a moment to just say you just left me hanging, both of y'all?
It's true.
Some things come with age.
All right, next time you guys do something on air, I'm going to leave you hanging.
Well, if we do it together, it'll be all right.
I don't feel bad.
Okay. So, yeah, there's big news out of Google this week. This is actually really big news.
I'm suddenly less excited to talk about it, though.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. All right. We apologize. Get excited.
Mm-hmm. Official news on crawling an index for the Google Index. Coming at you live.
Yeah.
So they updated their search quality rating guidelines, which is apparently, I read more into this here, David, there's some more data. Basically, it's this guideline that they give to their, what is the term that they use? Human rating guidelines. That apparently they give to these humans that rate the quality of their search results based on these guidelines. And then they use that to kind of cross check whether or not their algorithm is actually adhering to their quality guidelines. So it's different than how we would expect this document to tell us how the Google algorithm works and what it's expecting from sites, but it's not. This document is telling you what the humans who are grading the algorithm are looking for in a good search result.
So this is big news, though.
Follow that?
Yeah, I did.
Because,
that's interesting.
Yeah, because Google has had these evaluators for many years. In the past, we've only seen little snippets of these guidelines.
Yeah, like a general overview in 2013 is what
we've had a few different releases where we've had like little bits of it. But this is the whole thing, and it's 160 pages long. And so it's what I think is it's while it's true that it doesn't talk so much about how the algorithm works per se, it does give us a great deal of insight into how Google wants the algorithm changes to produce results.
Yeah.
So I see it as, look, if this is what Google is saying, hey, evaluate our product, our search results, by these criteria, then that tells us as content producers, the people who, you know, for our businesses, we want to rank well. This tells us what Google is. I mean, we can aim at the same thing, I guess.
This is the Bible of the Google.
Of Google.
Yes. This is Google's Bible.
Yes.
It's a big deal.
I think so.
No, I mean, it just came out, so nobody's had a chance to really go through it and say, like, here's the key points of it. Otherwise, we would be telling you the key points of it on the show, but hopefully upcoming.
Maybe we should do that. I think we should, like, try to digest this and see what we can learn from it and produce.
What was the term you used earlier to describe?
What was it I was describing? The definitive... Opportunity tunes, my friend. Yes. Opportunity knocks. Opportunity tunes. It's just a bad spoonerism.
Opportunity tunity.
Yes. So opportunity tunes for us. So we should do this.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. It's on your Rod. It's on your to-do.
Rod, yeah. Yeah. Rod, let us know what this document says.
You can put it on my to-do list if you'd like to.
That doesn't mean it's going to get done?
Mm-hmm. I'll put it down at the bottom there. I'll prioritize it appropriately.
Happy birthday.
So, hey, in our show notes for today, we will link out to the full document. And if by now, when you are listening, whenever that may be, if by now we've produced a summary of the results, we'll also have that in our show notes.
We will go back and do an update to the post.
We will update the post later, yes. So, I mean, if you're listening on Marketing Monday when the show releases, it's not ready yet.
Not ready.
So, there's that.
Hey, random. Personal life story here. So, remember last week? Talk about Webmaster Tools last week, or was that just on the webinar?
Well, we talked...
I was thinking it was time... Sullivan
we talked
last
about it a little
week.
Bit.
Yeah, we mentioned... I think we mentioned
yeah, we
them,
kind
only
of
briefly.
To it. Okay, yeah. Okay. Well, based on our conversation, I moved an entire domain. Remember my complaining about .vc?
Yeah.
And I didn't like that my site was being targeted at St. Vincent and Grenadines.
Yeah, I do remember.
So now I'm... it's the pitch.fm.
Oh.
.fm is still country level... TLD, But if you look under Google's guidelines, they have this exception list of ccTLDs like .co, .cc, .tv, some others.
Like that, .biz maybe or something?
Yes, .biz is in there. Yeah. They're typically thematic domain extensions that they've decided enough people are using these.
Sweet.
So we're going to change them so we treat them like a GLTD instead of a ccTLD.
So is that any problem for you changing that extension?
Well, no, it should be a benefit.
Did you 301? Are you kidding me? Right. So you're still able to talk about it as the pitch.vc because when people listen, they can still type in the pitch.vc and get to the right place.
Oh, it all forwards. W without www, with HTTPS, without.
Oh. Okay, so see, I liked.
And every page has a rule where whatever comes after the .vc forward slash
right.
will get dumped into the pitch.fm. With that
with the same address.
Address in it.
So you did that in htaccess, in your htaccess file?
No, I am a huge Cloudflare guy.
Oh, Cloudflare
gives
you a
Cloudflare's got
interface.
Some pretty powerful...
I see.
I don't know how you... But basically rules that you can create for page rules.
So in other words, if we... Which we do. We have a page on growthedream.com, and it's for the show. So it's growthedream.com/show.
Right.
So let's say we decided someday randomly we're going to change our domain name to, let's say, thepitchflorida.com. So we would say...
You mean Grow the Dream Florida?
No, I was just making something up. So,
oh, just
okay.
Random? Okay.
Whichever one.
Right.
But we wanted slash show to still end up in the same place, right? So whatever the slash whatever is, you want to still have that in the same place. So you write a rule, and you can do this whether you use Cloudflare or not.
It's
you can,
probably the same rules. I used an asterisk. Is it the same? And then it was like a...
Well,
like a $1.
Yeah, the $1, that's a regex expression.
Okay.
Or regex, depending on how you pronounce it. That's not like the GIF war. Is it GIF or GIF? Anyway, regex, it's a regex expression that says just whatever comes after this part, repeat it, but replace the domain, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how the rule ends up working. That's not
very
exactly
nerdy stuff. And I'm surprised Rod's still letting us talk about this.
Anyway, it redirects, but that tells Google, hey, we've moved, we're in a new place.
Yeah,
and it also tells any browser, so you know, whatever browser you use to open that up, it'll transfer the user. And in fact, it doesn't even leave the old domain in the history. You know how you have the your back button?
Right.
If you go back, it will take you to the page before that, not...
Yeah.
So it won't keep redirecting you forward.
Correct, yeah. So you're it's a permanently moved redirect, and that's cool. So you used Webmaster Tools. I found out that I made a small mistake.
Right.
The HTTPS... changing the you don't tell it that you've moved. Not a change of address. You don't file a change of address just for HTTPS. It doesn't support that function.
You just do a 301 redirect.
Yep.
So that all your pages.
But you still want to put all of them in Webmaster Tools. And if you're wondering what we're talking about, we have an entire webinar that you can watch about how to use Webmaster Tools and how to change your domain name. Although we didn't get into the redirects.
Are we gonna link to it in the show notes?
We should link to it. But I mean, it's easy to remember. It's baconandcats.com.
Oh, that's right. You can link to it there. Okay.
Yeah.
Just go
to baconandcats.com and you too can sign up. If as of this recording, we do not have access to the replay made available yet. But if you wish to have access to the replay, you can still sign up right there and we'll get it to you.
Let me ask you something, Josh. The VC, what was the original purpose of choosing that?
Venture capital.
Venture capital.
So that's how I always took it to be. That's why I was wondering if there was any issue changing
when
that.
When I logged into Webmaster Tools, Google has a place where it's your country targeting. I logged in there, and it kept saying St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
Right.
And instead of the Vatican, which we thought it was, right? The
right.
Vatican City,
right.
Which was not, it was not that. So, but there was no place. Normally, you can change it. If it's a GTLD...
It's geographic,
yeah,
or it's general.
It's general,
general.
And Google lets you pick the country you want to target.
Whereas a ccTLD is a country code top-level domain, right?
Yeah.
And so Federal States of Micronesia is where .fm lives, which isn't that a U.S. possession, or is it a...
I don't know, but their registry fees are close to $100 a year.
Ooh, that's
so
a lot.
Very expensive, but...
I don't think Micronesia is...
I don't know. It always annoys me because when I'm filling out forms online and it says choose your state, and I say Florida, if I just hit an F,
right. Down.
FM, Federal States of Micronesia always comes up before Florida. So I figure why is that? I don't know.
Maybe it's a territory or something.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah. It's an independent sovereign island nation and a U.S. associated state consisting of four states from west to east, and it gives them names.
Sounds like we just sort of protect them.
Well, what is an associated state? I've never heard of that.
I don't believe I have either. We're a little bit in the weeds, but I'm It's interesting.
Patagonia, where is
it? Wait. Hey, might as well answer it. An associated state is the minor partner in a formal free relationship between a political territory with a degree of statehood and a larger nation, for which no other specific term such as protectorate is adopted. So, yeah, so, they're a protectorate.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. So we just protect them. Okay.
Fascinating. Right.
So it's not like Guam where we actually own it.
Right. Or Puerto Rico that's an actual territory that wants to be a state.
If all goes downhill, I'm going to go to one of those places.
Like the District of Columbia, for example, which is also a territory.
There's a reason why the authors of the Constitution and the founders of the country did not make it a state.
I agree. I agree.
Very good reason why.
Yes, I agree.
Anyway,
so,
sidebar.
Moving on. So by moving to .fm, you can now target the U.S. geographically, which tells, it's just a small signal, but it tells Google you want to rank well in the U.S.
Yeah.
Which
That's
is
my
good.
Main listener. I mean, we have people listening worldwide, just like this show.
Of course, yeah.
But if there's anywhere that I want to rank in Google, it's the United States.
Well,
not
the,
St. Vincent.
Makes a lot of sense. Okay, so that's cool. Well, congrats on getting it moved.
But the funny thing is, and maybe you know more about this than I do.
Okay.
I did a Google search just last night. I could probably do it again now, but I won't. And for searching for the Pitch podcast, I was number two result was the pitch.vc. The number three result, the pitch.fm. So both existed side by side in the Google search rankings.
That won't stay that way.
Right. I assume not. But I thought it was interesting that there was enough of... What's odd to me is that the new one ranked enough to be right below...
Yeah, well,
that's surprising.
It's probably their algorithm.
I was going to say because
updating.
Of the redirect. I mean, is it identifying the direct?
It's already passed on the value to it.
So right now, I don't see the .fm. I just ran the search because you weren't, so I did.
I knew that's what you were doing.
And
I watched your little fingers.
Yeah,
tap
the .vc ranks and not the .fm. But
that's weird.
That will change. And you know what? This is another thing that I
did
found.
Incognito. So maybe that's.
I'm on a browser where I am signed in. But you know what? Here's what I found. Google rankings will fluctuate, especially right after something new. So, for example...
Like our body weight, like right after we eat something, it fluctuates a little bit.
Yeah, it fluctuates upward.
And like our height, like in the, you know, we start our day a little bit taller. So just that.
So like, I guess by standing, we compress our spines.
Absolutely.
And that makes, okay, all right. So, it fluctuates. So you might, for example, that when you publish a new blog post, your website might disappear from the Google search results.
Disappear?
For a day.
What?
Yep.
Why would it do that? Why would your entire website...
It's just something I've observed.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
I would say it's something he's observed.
I don't believe it.
I don't make this stuff up.
Why would, after you post one blog post, a new page on your site, would your entire page disappear?
It doesn't happen every time, and it happens less frequently now, but it used to happen pretty regularly to me. I would see...
Just for like a 24-hour period?
Yeah, just a day or so, and then you'd see it come back. And
Google's like, they published something.
Yeah, we're re-indexing everything.
Yeah, something onerous.
And it might have been because the sites are newer. You know, maybe I don't see it now because my sites are more well established. But in the early days, I saw it a lot. So I don't know whether it's because of the timing. And
sites
the Google
like baconandcats.com are very well established.
Yeah, baconandcats.com. All right. So congrats on moving. Yes.
Yes. Go ahead. You in the corner.
I have a topic.
Okay.
And it is not.
I thought you were Arnold Horshack there for a minute.
We're back to that again. It is not techie, but it is marketing.
Okay.
And in an interesting way. So,
what if we had a show where you couldn't say the word marketing? Just throwing it out there.
Okay,
no, go ahead.
This is making the public aware of an industry sector and the companies within it.
Okay.
Okay.
Without marketing. Okay. So here's the deal. So
I see what you did there.
Right. Okay. Thank you. I want to do is just a real quick explanation of what went on, and this is a local thing, and this involves a client of mine.
Can you say hashtag instead of marketing?
No.
Can we do that for the rest of the show?
No. Again, if you'd like to.
Okay. So what happened? What happened? What happened?
So there was. We're in Sarasota here. The EDC is a client of ours. The Economic Development Corporation. They, along with the Bradenton Area Economic Development Corporation, got to discussing a little bit about the industry sector here that's generally called life sciences. It goes under a lot of different types of things. It's that industry that is producing advances in medical technology, in research, in bio stuff.
Life sciences. Why do they want to get rid of the medical terminology? Why are they?
No, that's all encompassed in the medical terminology. But there's a lot of different things. It can go. It can be from software dealing with it to lab work to development to medical devices themselves. So all those types of companies. Huh. So, you know, Sarasota is pretty well known as a tourism and retirement area.
Yeah, place for old people.
We have an exceptionally large need for medical services here.
And that's the interest. One of the interesting elements here. So what happened was one of our big companies
here
a company called Volt, which is growing like crazy, and they do software. They write software.
It's pronounced Voalte.
For it's Voalte with a over the e.
I like that.
Yep. So they were having a user conference for what they do here.
Okay.
Right? And so the EDCs thought, you know, let's just piggyback on that to see if we can bring a little attention to the life sciences sector, get a little bit and all. And so
good PR play.
Yeah. So I'm helping out with the publicity, and actually we just threw in a bunch of extra. We don't do this very often. We didn't charge anything for all the extra stuff because actually I was just completely on board with the concept. And
sweet.
Yeah. So here's what happened. Once we started mapping out the number of companies that we knew, and some of this was just old school, and I didn't do this part, where it was just calling these companies that we knew about and saying, what other ones are around here now? We ended up in just the two-county area with 50 companies, actually, plus a few, 50 companies that are specifically in that industry and 60 more that are supporting them.
So
that is a huge sector for
people that don't live here. I mean, what are we talking population-wise for those two counties?
Counties, it's about 750,000
people.
Right.
Wow, that's bigger than I thought.
Yeah, everybody's surprised
by
that.
It's growing a lot all the time. Okay.
Well, then, yeah, the traffic wouldn't.
Yeah, I would say 7 you'd believe it in a moment. Anyway, so here's what happened.
Michigan license plates. Sorry, Rod.
Yeah. Wow. So then the EDC creates this concept of, if you've ever heard of Parade of Homes, Parade of Companies. And it was a series of open houses for these companies where the public was invited. Anybody could come. They were pretty well attended. Then on the Friday night of this week, after all these open houses and the Volt conference, and there was a BioFlorida meeting. There's a BioFlorida chapter here now. And BioFlorida is an association of all these sorts of companies
like
all over the state.
Biotech companies, right? Yeah.
You know, it's like 800 or something in Florida. Florida is the third largest biotech sector in the country.
Okay.
Which makes sense when you consider the demographics. There's a lot here to work with, so there's already a base in place there.
God's waiting room.
So on Friday, they created this thing, this sort of a restaurant crawl, and you had all these downtown restaurants in Sarasota that were on board, and it provided a networking opportunity for a lot of these companies together. Here's the thing. Nobody knew there were 110 companies involved with the support. Nobody.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Nobody, including most of these companies. In fact, we found all week long, companies were finding out about each other for the first time.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it sort of exploded. We got a lot of coverage in local newspapers. People were talking about it. This was an absolute home run, grand slam even, for publicity for this industry and all. And it all just started off with it started off with a lot of shoe leather and work and vision for how to elevate the, public view.
So
these companies.
Is there a lesson here? Like, should we start to seek out relationships with the economic development corps in our towns?
I mean, wouldn't hurt at all. I mean, they are actually really good, and every place has them. They're usually called EDCs, but if not, they're called EDOs. They're overall, they're economic development organizations,
and they're quasi governmental, right? Because they use government.
They're
funds.
All different. Some of them are only private.
But, oh, really? Okay.
Yep. But the majority of them are...
The ones that are funded by public money usually are staffed and operated by business people, right?
Right. Oh, yes. Yeah. Right. So they are, even if they have, if they get their government funds from a number of different government organizations, they still are run as a nonprofit or as a private, sort of, but on the board will be representatives from each of the...
Yeah. This is all news to
governments.
Me.
So, but every community has these. I mean, of any size has them.
And they do a lot of good things. Like they do help job seekers. That's one of the things they do. But or at least locally. But they also provide training. Like if you can take your employees.
Some of that, but they do a lot more of attraction, company attraction. So companies that are looking to locate, they try and attract them. So there's a little bit of competition actually between EDCs in different communities.
Sure.
And certainly around the country.
So and that's where they go hit up like the county leadership and say, hey, will you give us a tax credit to bring the company
incentive.
Here or whatever.
And so every place has incentive programs and all. And you know, there's a lot of debate on whether those should be done, but it doesn't matter because they're done everywhere now. So you about have to compete. And then they also help local companies in getting state incentives or expanding or making connections or whatever. So that in a way they are helping local companies grow. They also can be working to make sure that your local business environment is particularly healthy and strong. So, you know, keep regulations and taxes in line. Make it kind of business friendly as much as possible with, that reflects, you know, the values of your community and all. And so they're a great organization to be a part of. But also just the concept of creating a networking environment. There's a lot of value in that in marketing your own company and
hashtag.
All. It's old school. Oh, that's right. Yes. And hashtagging your own company there. I know
what you're
saying.
Can he say it? Can he say
the word?
Pretty hard.
Well, I turned it into a verb and it was a little harder there. At any rate.
And it's one of the laws of the tech world. Any noun can be verbed.
Well, that's the truth. Yeah. You know what? And that used to be one of those lines I'd never crossed.
Like,
it's a long cross now.
Today I'm rotting it.
Yeah.
Which would mean...
What would it mean?
What would that mean?
I grew a new gray hair.
I was going to say...
I'm rotting it today.
But as a new one, that means you already have gray hairs? That's excellent, Josh. Good
oh, I do.
Hear.
I absolutely...
Okay, so anyway, I just found that to be...
Not a shame.
Okay, so I was so fascinated by how successful that was and how hidden they had been. And so basically, we brought something completely to light that had been sort of hidden, and it's helping... Probably it's going to help all those companies in that sector, and it's going to help the public in this community to understand it better. And that will probably down the road result in better things in public policy towards this industry sector.
Well, that's a good thing. But I think that one of the big lessons here is just the synergies that might exist close by without you even realizing it.
Yeah.
Like, I find it unfathomable that a biotech company or a life science company, as you put it, might live here in Sarasota and operate and not know about their, you know, either a competitor or somebody that might have a synergy with them that's also in town.
Right. All of these were synergistic relationships because it's so specialized throughout that sector. The subsectors are almost infinite, you know. And, you know, I won't even go through all the different types of company things, but a lot of them, matter of fact, one guy I was talking to, and I thought that both these companies were in like wound care, right? And they were producing products for, you know, coagulating blood quickly, et cetera. So
like
they're in wound
like a
care. And that, you know, that
Except
type of thing.
Some
yes.
of them are made out of human skin. It's
exactly.
Very fascinating.
Oh, it's very high
Dude.
Tech.
We have clients.
It's amazing what they can do with it. A lot of it is almost at the DNA level.
I saw a video on Facebook about somebody who got a face transplant.
Oh, yeah.
His entire face.
A little freaky.
Yeah.
A little freaky. So that's what, so that's what they're doing. And so these two companies, I leaned and talked to the one, which I was talking to about being actually a client. This hasn't been a bad week for me either. But I said, so are these guys a competitor? And he said, no, not really. And then he said, I think that they're going to be a customer.
Oh,
so,
nice.
I mean, isn't that fascinating? Just how that all worked out.
So you never
out.
Know where your next synergies might lie.
Right.
Right. Interesting
right.
stuff.
Right. Now, I will say that we did the full social media. I mean, we hit the social media very heavily for that week and leading up to it for the month before and all, too. But it was a lot of it was really low-tech work that made it all happen. So
nice.
A combination is not always the wrong way to go.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So I just wanted to throw that in, guys, between the heavy
that's
tech
really
elements.
Cool. Yeah. I don't have experience with events. I know, David, you do. You know, I'm just not a huge event guy.
People who have experience with events usually bear the battle scars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that is not something I want to get into at all.
Yeah.
Ever.
You can
I've been involved on the
events.
Peripheries enough to know.
I actually like doing events. I like them a lot because I find them very, very fruitful. But
I don't mind being at events. I don't mind speaking at events. I just don't want to organize the events.
Yeah. We've learned what not to do. And there may be some new lessons that we haven't learned about what not to do, but we've learned quite a few. So, but we've also had very successful events. I'm not, you know, but we had some bad ones.
Right. So, David.
Yes, sir.
What do you have?
I'm excited about this one. This is Facebook authorship.
Okay.
Okay, so you might remember Google authorship.
I remember Google authorship.
Which?
That thing that faded off into the sunset.
It seemed so promising at first, you know?
It did. Google's names under search results.
Yeah.
In a picture.
Like, you could have your photo, your Google Plus photo, ironically, appear next to anything you wrote, whether it was on your website
appear
or not.
Appear next to where?
Oh, my,
the search results. So if somebody,
search results.
Somebody Googled
okay.
something,
right.
some of the results would have a picture.
Okay.
Where
and,
were you?
And the theory was that if you saw your picture, if you saw a result with a picture next to it, that after a while you might start to recognize that person's an expert,
sure.
and so you click more often.
Right. Well, and it, you know, 20,000 followers on Google Plus. You're like, oh wow, there's that many people on Google Plus.
True.
This guy must.
And I think Google was trying to grow Google Plus.
Okay,
so there's that.
Absolutely, sure.
You know, which
you notice it disappeared right after that guy What was his name? The guy who was heading up with Bless just kind of faded off.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I don't have his name in front of me. But yeah, he got promoted. It wasn't Sundar, was it? Sundar Pichai? Was he the one? Anyway,
this guy was like a black sheep. He was ostracized.
Speaking of all of that, Google Plus got an update last week.
Wait. But I want to know. I want to know about this authorship.
Okay,
thing.
Yeah. So just I'll end the Google Plus rabbit trail. But check it out if
Let's
you haven't
just
been there.
End it right there.
No, check it out if you haven't been there lately. Google Plus has got an update. It's better.
Please
anyway.
Don't.
Okay, so Google authorship went away. Google basically decided, something about this isn't working, and they dropped it.
So we don't know why they dropped it?
No, I don't know that they ever said. If they did, I don't remember. But maybe, I don't know,
that's
probably
fine.
Because a lot of SEOs were trying to manipulate it, but they didn't say, I don't think.
Okay.
If they did, correct me, I don't think so. But anyway.
I just remember all the marketers jumping on the bandwagon and saying, you need to invest in Google Plus. This is the next driver of search results.
And you did. You did. That was valid for a while anyway. And I think it maybe still is to a certain degree because of map listings. For example, for local businesses, Google Plus still needs to be part of your strategy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you still need to keep your Google
authorship
Plus.
Is kinda...
Yeah. So authorship was this deal. So here's what you did with Google Plus and with Google authorship. You had to go back to your website and you had to add some markup to your website that basically in the code said this author, if you had a WordPress site, for example, you could attach your Google authorship tag to your author account in WordPress.
Okay.
So every time you publish a post,
right. It's automatically
it would include the code that would have your Google Plus ID. And then Google knew Rod Thompson is the author of this article, and then it would push your Google Plus picture, whatever your current picture was, next to that thing in the search results.
It's me and George Will.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Yeah. So anyway, that's gone. But Facebook has implemented some version of it. And everybody kind of went, well, why the heck would we need to get on? This has actually been out for a while.
Yeah, well, my question, I mean, because authorship to me is like, if it only matters if it matters to Google, to me. So I'm curious.
So here's how it works.
What it means.
So this is similar in that you go to your website and you add the Facebook author tag. Okay, so you need a way to go in and do this, and I actually haven't looked to see
if
there's probably a...
If you're on WordPress,
there's probably a plugin.
Just wait for Yoast SEO to update
Yoast SEO
add this feature.
But see, this has been out for a little while. I haven't seen it yet. So anyway, here's what it does. Every time your post gets shared on Facebook, even if whoever posted it didn't tag you as the writer or the author of it, every time your post gets shared, your name goes along with the post, and the name is a link to your Facebook page.
Wait, Facebook page or profile? Is this for
yes,
pages or
you
profiles?
You can choose. No, you decide. So what your author tag will either be your personal Facebook profile or it will be your Facebook page, depending on which way you want to do it. So since we own businesses, I think it would be smart for us to add an author tag that is our Facebook page, because that way increases the visibility of your Facebook page. So, for example, we as this podcast could write the definitive guide to the Google search quality guidelines.
So it's an either or.
Yeah, you decide.
It's either you're either an author or a publisher. Like you're using it in either. You can't be. You can't have both. Like you can't say
only one
Josh
author.
Muccio
no,
wrote
there's
this
only one author
from
for a piece of content, right? So it will either be Josh Muccio or it will be the pitch. .vc, whichever way you decide to set up your author
tag.
So here's what we can do. We can write the definitive guide, let's say, to this new Google search quality guidelines report that came out. We could write that, and then when we publish it to the website, we can use Grow the Dream Show's Facebook page as the Facebook author tag. And then anytime somebody shares it, it will link back to Grow the Dream Show.
Interesting.
That's the theory. So if you own a business and you're creating content in your industry or outside of your industry or whatever, hopefully it's focused on your customers, if you add the Facebook author tag and your content gets shared, it just increases the chances that you're visible.
Cool.
Right.
I think it's brilliant.
Right. It can grow your page.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean...
And it's basically a little meta tag. You just add the...
And I'm sure Facebook makes it nice and easy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Facebook doesn't control how your website gets edited. So, I mean, it's not a complicated tag in and of itself. It's just a little piece of HTML code. But
I would definitely want a plugin to manage this so that it automatically does it.
I was
going to
say, would WordPress have a plugin for it?
Somewhere. So the socialmediahat.com has a story about how to add this to various content management systems. So we'll link out to that in our show notes. And we'll share that so that you can find it that way. But Yeah, pretty cool stuff. So there's instructions here for Drupal, WordPress, Blogger, Tumblr, Weebly, Wix. Hey, did we talk about the fact that Wix is getting dropped from Google search results?
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, all Wix websites are being de-indexed by Google.
That's it. Why?
Hold on a second. Hold the phone.
Yeah. I'd have to look up the story now, but it happened like a week or two ago. Facebook or Google announced that they were de-indexing all Wix sites. I don't remember seeing
why. That's painful.
I just kind of giggled to myself because so many people use it, and it's one of those things that's always like, why are you using? It's like GeoCities or one of those, like, you know, really crappy platforms that...
Oh, I remember somebody, a friend of mine, well, no, this would have been a prospective client of mine who was using Wix, and it was entirely Flash-based, their entire site. So I loaded up their site. I'm sorry, no, not yet Flash-based. Entirely, no, yes, it was. So I loaded it up.
Which is bad, because Google can't read Flash, so Google never knew what it was.
I loaded it up the way Google saw it, and I showed...
Yeah, it was empty.
This person, I said, this is what your site looks like to Google.
It's empty.
All you have is a title tag. And no content on the page.
That's very much bad.
So that was my first experience with Wix, but I've seen other sites that are good that Wix made. I'm super curious as to why they did this.
Yeah, well, it's pretty
nobody,
bad.
Nobody knows?
Oh, hey, it's in Yoast already. It's already in Yoast. Look at that. It's in the social tab. You just go to your Facebook tab, and there's a little checkbox that says add open graph metadata, which, I mean, that's been checked for a long time.
Okay, I would like to say, and the Wix thing?
Yeah.
Search Engine Land... If that sounds familiar to anybody,
yeah.
Search Engine Land has a story on Google. I mean, it's just a few weeks ago. Google working on fixing problem with Wix websites not showing up in search results.
Oh, they're trying to fix it. They didn't de-index them.
Or so it sounds. It
says there's a problem.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, maybe it wasn't officially a Google decision, but they were dropping badly. So... in any case, people, use a real content management system. Don't use Wix, please. I mean, really, get yourself on WordPress.
Squarespace.
Okay, Squarespace is fine. Although this week I did...
I was just going to try to recite one of their ad lines. I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, I had someone contact me this week, and they said, hey, we have a designer that's rebuilding our site in Squarespace, and they're running a podcast. And I went, I wonder how that's going to work for you. Yeah, I was like, why would you move off of WordPress? But they did. That's what they're doing.
That is amazing.
So
I'd move off of WordPress.
I wouldn't. Not in a heartbeat.
I'm not tied to it.
Except Google loves it so much.
Yeah, it's still the fastest way to get ranked in Google search results.
Hold on. What?
In my experience.
Well, that's specifically if you're blogging, right?
Well... Even if you're not blogging.
Why would Google favor WordPress.org? That doesn't sound like something they would...
It's not that they favor WordPress.org. It's that WordPress.org, out of the box, already presents your website in a way that is hyper-friendly to Google.
Okay.
And other platforms... Now, you can break that. If you install a WordPress theme that is not well-designed...
Doesn't have any schema...
Exactly. Now you're preaching from my notes. See, WordPress does schema.org markup.
It just likes the word.
I know, but it does. I know, but it does schema markup.
It fit in this context.
True, it did.
It's true. So,
but I do also like the word.
Yeah. So that's the deal. So we'll post a link to it if you're on another. I mean, and look, you know, Drupal's great. I'm a fan of Drupal, but you know WordPress has 25% of the web market share now. 25% of all websites are run.
But they don't have baconandcats.com.
Well, not yet. But that's only just because I was a little short on time and I had.
All right.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. It's good.
So ironically, the Facebook blog post on author tags was published in June of 2015 on Facebook's WordPress site. media.fe.com, which runs WordPress.
Yeah.
So even Facebook uses WordPress. So there you go.
Do you know who doesn't use WordPress?
It's interesting. It does. You're right. It does.
Google. They use Blogspot.
Well, that's because they own it.
I know. Or Blogger, whatever it is.
Yeah, but Matt Cutts, who is the head of the Google Web Spam team.
Yeah.
Blogging on WordPress for many years.
Good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's the guy. I mean,
you're talking about 25%, 25, one quarter. I mean, that's stunning. What would be the next one? Who's next in line there? It's got to be a mile behind that.
Probably just regular HTML sites.
I don't have the story in front of me at the moment.
That's all right.
But I've had it up quite a bit recently.
I was going by your amazing memory that you just pulled that up.
The others are pretty far behind, but...
I mean, they'd have to be. I mean, otherwise you'd have you know, you would have a non-segmented market, which...
I just went through the experience of relaunching a new WordPress site. When I switched to the pitch.fm, I started scratch with a new WordPress install. So I got to experience the joys of adding my stack of plugins on top of WordPress to make it work the way I do. I had to mess around a little bit with page speed, David.
Yeah, you do. And you got to optimize it. I mean, unless you're on just a sickeningly fast host, which would maybe...
But even that, here's the other argument for why being on a sickeningly fast host is only half the battle. Because Google can rank your site by speed, but it also ranks your site by how efficient the code is.
Right.
So, you know, if you use their page speed tool, it'll give you a grade. And that grade actually matters towards your ranking in SEO.
It very clearly does.
So I've had sites that were ranking, that were load quick because it was on a really fast server, but the grade it got with Google was fairly poor. Yeah. So on the latest site, I ran it through, found the issues I was having, and I found this awesome plugin called Auto Optimizer.
Ooh.
And I played around with these before. They combine all your CSS and JavaScript files into one.
They minify it?
No, minifying is something else. And usually minify... It basically minify, how do I describe
minify
it?
Minify condenses the rules.
Condenses,
so it figures out what the final result of all the rules is for CSS and then gives you one simple set.
Yes, it would. Right. Instead of using words for specific classes, it'll use a letter for a class. Things like that, I think, is my understanding of how... Okay,
perhaps somebody,
Okay, anyway.
Now, there's also less, and there's some others, you know, like little languages now you can use.
So what it does is it takes all those separate files, because typically each plugin that you add, like a sharing plugin, or what's the one that links up with WordPress.com?
Jetpack.
They all have their own separate CSS files.
Yeah.
So what Auto Optimize does is it takes all those CSS files, combines them into one, and that's what makes Google happy. You can also do the same thing with JavaScript, which also makes Google happy.
Yeah, that's all good stuff. And see, I use W3TC, which is the caching plugin.
That's a scary plugin.
Yeah, it's got a lot of configuration stuff. All right, so I realize we're nerding
Sorry,
out.
Sorry, Rod.
All right, so the answer to the question you asked.
I was just going to get on Drudge or something here pretty soon.
Okay, the answer to the question you ask. WordPress is at 25% as of November of 2015.
This next number is going to be 42.
The next number is 2.8%.
Yes, that's what I would expect.
Joomla. Yep. At 2.1% is Drupal. Magento powers 1.2% of all websites. They're an e-commerce system. And Blogger is at 1.2% as well. So Google's platform, Blogger, is 1.2%.
Youch.
But Google can use it because they control the search engine. So, you know, they don't have to worry about it. But the rest of us, if you want to rank well. Now, there is a number that's higher here, 57.4%. Have no content management system.
Oh, okay. Right.
So there's no content management system.
So is that just straight HTML sites, or
could be PHP? Could PHP. Be you know, just about any technology. ASP, ASPX. They're not all running content management systems.
A lot of sites will have a separate subdomain where they run their blog, and then they'll run, you know, whatever. It could be Tumblr.
Right.
It could be whatever the heck they want, but then their main site.
Which
is
Tumblr doesn't
HTML.
Even appear here in these results. I'm sure there is a.
Yeah, I don't know if it would be... Well, yeah.
Oh, wait. Here's the full list. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the full list now. Oh, wow. My gosh, where is Tumblr in this list? This is a long, long list.
Okay, Tumblr went down. They tumbled.
Apparently so.
Tumblr.
We'll link to this list because other people might find it interesting to look through.
That's true.
Fascinating stuff.
Hey, Squarespace is in the list with 0.3%.
You'd think all their podcast ads would have...
Hey, Shopify is in the list at 0.4. They're even higher.
Told
They're
you.
Higher than Squarespace,
awesome.
which is I my one contention right now with Shopify is I hate their blogging platform. Mm. It is terribly hard to use, and it's just unnecessarily bad with images. I mean, really unnecessarily
bad
with images.
That makes no sense.
So, yeah, and I don't know enough about it. So
it's sad, but I feel what you're paying. They're really great at e-commerce, though. Really, really great.
Okay, so speaking of e-commerce and things like paying bills... I think we should just mention Audible real quick.
Yeah, let's
do that. They had a big announcement this past week. On Friday, they announced that Harry Potter, the entire Harry Potter series, is now available.
Okay, I want to know who's reading it.
Yeah, who's a Harry Potter?
They told me. Hang on. Let me look.
Because that's key to all of
it. It was in the email. I didn't recognize his name, but they did say Jim Dale is his name. So who is Jim Dale? I don't know, but the entire Harry Potter series is there. So here's the deal. He's an award-winning narrator, according to Audible. But here's the deal. If you would like to get a free copy of the Harry Potter book of your choice, so if you want to start at the beginning, you get Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone on Audible, read by Jim Dale, narrated by Jim Dale, then all you need to do is visit audibletrial.com/dream. And what that does is it shows your support for the Dream Show. It also gets you the audiobook of your choice, so it doesn't have to be a Harry Potter book. It can be anything. But this is big news because these have not been available. Also, did you know audiobooks make great gifts for people?
A gift? A gift?
A gift. Well, you could make great gifts, but since there's not a lot of visuals usually with audiobooks, I don't think that would work. So, yeah, gifts for the holidays. I mean, the holidays are almost here. Black Friday is this week.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So, I will not be participating. I appreciate REI.
For closing
Black Friday,
they're closing on Thanksgiving and on Black Friday.
I respect you guys.
And they're actually shutting down not just their stores, but they're shutting down their e-commerce as well.
What?
Yes, they are. They're like, hey, we're not here. You shouldn't be either. You should go out and like get outdoors.
That's crazy.
Really great move.
I would think a little bit risky move.
Yeah,
it's good. It's a good PR play,
but it gets us talking
about
the
PR play.
Exactly right.
We are talking about it.
Back to audiobooks. What'd you find out about Jim Dale?
So I knew I recognized the face when I brought him up, and he was okay. This will say something about me. He was in Hot Lead and Cold Feet.
Oh my God!
I know it. And as soon as I recognized
blast
it,
blast from the past.
I know it exactly. Walt Disney stuff and all. So he's been in a lot of stuff, but he's a big stage guy. But listen to this though, in his voice work, he's won 2 Grammys as narrator.
Wow!
Yeah, so
he's done like win a Grammy.
Yeah, yeah,
as
they do.
Narrator?
They do Grammy for spoken word stuff.
Just found my new life's purpose.
Absolutely. 650 audiobooks to his credit.
Right. So clearly, he's a master.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's that?
Oh no! I'm sorry, I misunderstood. This is the risk of reading things while we're live on the air.
Right.
Okay. So. The judges who present the Audie Awards, which he's won 10 of them, reviewed 650 audiobooks. They're responsible. 150 judges representing all categories of the audiobook world. Judges responsible for reviewing over 650 audiobooks. So if you win, you win out of 650. So that's pretty significant.
Right. So he won one of those, and he won 2 Benjamin Franklin Awards. He's won 23 Audiophile Earphone Awards.
Did he get a Pulitzer?
Guy's pretty good.
Oh, we've heard this.
He did get a Pulitzer for that. No. And it's a long you.
He did the Peter Pan book.
Thank you.
We have one of his books because we've listened to Peter Pan. My daughter has that one. So by J.M. Barrie, of course.
So that's probably going to be a pretty good read.
I think it's going to be good, yeah.
Listen.
So if you want to get an audiobook, whether it's that one or maybe the one that I just read that I finished now is the Glenn Greenwald book.
Okay.
If you are thinking, I mean, you know, there's been a lot of talk about cracking down on cryptography and all of that in the wake of the Paris terrorist attacks. And if you hear politicians talking about crapping down on cryptography, this book will make you take a second look at that question about whether it's a smart move or not. It's called No Place to Hide by Glenn Greenwald.
Interesting.
Very, very interesting book. And our Fourth Amendment rights in the United States, our Fourth Amendment rights, obviously people in the rest of the world may not have those. But we certainly did up until... we found out that we were being spied upon. But anyway, really good book. So whichever kind of
book... It's called metadata.
No, that's not what this is called. This is not just metadata.
Oh, I don't know. I do know what you're talking about specifically. But that's one of the big deals, obviously, right now.
Yeah, actually...
Fourth Amendment purposes.
Apparently that's under... Yeah, that's expiring right now, which will be interesting to see what happens with that. But...
It will be redone in light form.
I'm concerned that it will be, especially now.
It will be, but it will be different. It'll be LITE form. So
we'll see. I hope that they take a look. But in any case,
I'm not following.
audibletrial.com/dream and get the free audiobook of your choice. Incidentally, you'll get signed up for a free 30-day trial of the service, which means you can get the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal daily. There's an audio version every day that's available. You get that for free for the period. And if you decide not to sign up, you can still keep the audiobook of your choice that you got when you started. So
very cool.
audibletrial.com/.
Are you guys Harry Potter fans?
I've never read them.
I did not read them until this year.
You read them?
I have read all of them. And I'll tell you what, I was highly, highly impressed.
Were you? How do they compare to like Lord of the Rings?
So,
or Chronicles of Narnia?
Movies. Thematically, the movies were good too. Thematically, the books have a lot in common with Lord of the Rings and Chronicles of Narnia in that it's fantastical. The world is fantastical.
Right. Sure.
And you have, you know, wizardry and all that sort of stuff. But the watching the young boy, Harry, grow up, and as he does through the series.
As boys tend to do.
Right, but it follows his entire career at this school of wizardry and so forth.
Hogwarts.
It's
Hogwarts.
The books start out almost light, and they get increasingly dark.
Oh, okay.
And the darkness is around the theme of tyrannical power.
Oh, okay.
And I would actually highly recommend the books as a result.
Interesting. Okay.
I really would.
So here's a question, because this is something that can ruin books for me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is there a consistent logic behind the magic, or does it just go anywhere you kind of want it to go?
Clearly, J.K. Rowling, or Rowling, however you say her name, has thought through this universe as...
That's really important
to me. She took that as seriously as what a Tolkien would have done. Now...
She didn't make up a whole language.
Exactly. Yeah, she didn't invent, right, you know, huge histories for each, you know, but there's the presence of that level of framework. Okay. I just don't think that she spent 30 years doing it like Tolkien did, you know? I mean,
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Right.
What I love about Tolkien, and there's a meme that's to this effect, is that here's a guy who invented an entire language for elves.
Right.
And he named a mountain Mount Doom.
Yeah. But what is it in Elvish?
it's probably some long...
I don't know, but it just... That cracked me up.
Right.
It's actually lost in translation.
I believe one of my children tells me that actually there's a second language, that the dark one,
the Sith Lord?
No.
The Sith Lord.
But you know when Gandalf is looking at the ring and he says, no, that's not Elvish. That's in the tongue
I
will never...
The language of Mordor, right?
Mordor, the language of Mordor. He actually wrote the language of Mordor, too.
He did, yeah. Totally did. Yeah.
So that's two languages.
Oh, yeah. No, he invented multiple languages. I mean, the idea that there's a language for the elves is just understating it.
Is there a parallel universe in which these languages are spoken? Did he visit that universe?
Are you asking, is he actually a scribe instead of an author?
Oh, now that's interesting, except I don't buy into the multiverse, but anyway, that's a whole different podcast right there.
So do you enjoy time travel movies?
Yeah, absolutely. I love them.
I love those, too.
They simply don't work.
The multiverse
But
podcast.
I love them anyway.
Man. I do, too. I absolutely love them.
Yep.
All right, well, this has been a fun show, you guys. I don't know. We ran the gamut. We talked about Google with their new thing.
One thing I'd like to point out is no matter what topic we're on, Josh can get lost on one, I can get lost on one, but the David Johnson can talk about everything. It's amazing the store of knowledge that man has.
It's because he bridges the gap between us, too.
He does, and I'm pretty sure other ones, too.
You crack me up.
I'm impressed. That's... I'm just always impressed at his range of knowledge.
My ability to blather on about anything that might come up. Yeah.
Intelligently blather on, though.
Well, I'll take that as a compliment, and I thank you for that.
Okay,
so,
if you guys are done... Yeah, whatever.
Yes, we're done.
Mutual admiration here.
Yes.
There was no mutual. It was all
No, it's not true. Well, I just didn't vocalize. No,
Okay. What you need there,
Josh? Just saying happy birthday again.
Yeah, happy birthday to Rod.
Thanks very much.
Hey, so if you want to wish Rod a happy birthday, you can tweet him at Rod_Thompson.
Yep.
Remember, there's no P in Thompson. Well, please keep it that way. And then if you want to tweet Josh.
No, don't tweet me. Just check out my new website, thepitch.fm. We also
did a
redesign of that.
Are you going to change your Twitter account now? Because isn't the Twitter account...
I don't know. That's the big thing, because everything was built off of the pitch.vc.
I know, and you can't redirect Twitter account. You can change them, but
I can't
redirect
keep all my followers and then grab that other domain.
Yeah, you know, what a pain.
That's a pitch.
No. That's great. Anyway, check it out. It's a redesign. I actually I posted it on Twitter, and it was really fun to watch in analytics. Just people people trickling in, and then it went down, 20 minutes later, it went down to zero. And so then I retweeted it from another account, went back up to five or six people checking out the site. And then somebody left a design comment and said, hey, I found this in your menu. This is misaligned. I was like, oh, bummer. I'm going to have to fix that out. Then this guy goes into the code and goes, oh, here's your two problems. And he takes a picture of it. It was
sweet.
The most helpful thing on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, really.
So,
well, that's great. That's fun stuff. I love the fact that with shows like this and your podcast, I mean, you know, the same way that we have such great fans and great listeners, and it's always good to interact. So
I'm a fan of the Twitterverse.
Yeah, I am too. So we do want to hear from you. You can tweet all three of us at any one point in time at GTD Show, and we all do pay attention to that Twitter account, and you never know what might happen when you tweet that account. You just don't know.
All right.
You never know. All right. So we are going to have Kristen back here pretty soon.
Yes.
And then
we wish her well in the meantime.
We do wish her well. Hope she's feeling better. And hopefully she'll listen to this show so she can
get well soon.
Hear us talk about how well we wish her. And then on, let's see, what day is it going to be? December 7th. The week of December 7th, that show, which is coming up weeks. We have
Well, any of our listeners know what December 7th is?
Well, I hope so.
I thought Josh might look at me with furrowed brow. We'll just let it be a surprise.
My grandfather was there.
Okay, say it
to you. Oh,
yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. But that week, we have Dan Pink with us.
I mean, I assume since you're around, he survived.
He did survive. He's okay. One of the survivors. Yes, yes, yes. And in fact, we lost him about 5 years ago, but a lot of great stories coming out of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Pearl Harbor.
So,
yes,
yeah,
very good.
That's right. So Dan Pink will be with us, though. He's going to be a blast. His new book,
that will be good.
To Sell as Human, which will be a lot of fun. But it's all about motivating people, what moves people. What a great book.
Right.
Mm. I'm working my way through it right now. So that I will excellent. Have read it by the time we have him on. So,
all right. Hashtag.
I said Reddit. Oh, you missed it. Normally you say Reddit.
No, this week is hashtag.
Okay. All right. We look forward to seeing your hashtags. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Grow the Dream Show. We invite you to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Get connected to our growing community, add your comments, ask questions, and listen to the archives on the web at growthedream.com/show.